This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt on the AM 740 Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin.
Try again.
The host here, co-host. See, right away, I'm into trouble.
I know. It's
Frank
a bit
Proctor
rough to start.
Here. Yes, the sous chef of the garden. And there you are, my little Christmas cactus, my little Randy rhododendron. How are you, Charlie?
Welcome back, Franklin.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I missed doing the show last week.
We really missed you, but you were reading to crowds, hordes, I understand.
Well, you know, a couple of good crowds. I read twice my little story out there at the museum, which has, by the way, if I may just quickly give them a nice plug, St. Catherine's Museum have this sea monsters display. Mm-hmm. It's really extensive. Yeah. I mean, it came from Quebec and Newfoundland.
It's a traveling show.
Yeah, and it's just a wonderful setup, but it was a great time. And our buddy Robbie Lane, thank you very much for sitting in my stead.
But, you know, he's still just the sous chef.
He's the under chef, huh? Oh, okay. As long as it's not the Undertaker, you don't want to hear that.
No.
And a note to folks who are calling in, and I'll give you the phone numbers in just a flash. Really listen carefully and speak loudly to the producer of the show, Christina, because she's got a bit of a sore throat, see? And she can't speak too loudly.
Right.
So understand that she's not being, you know, she doesn't operate one of those phone things you see advertised on TV.
Yeah, she's not whispering on purpose.
Hi, call into the garden show. No, it's nothing like that, okay? And here are the numbers to reach the soft-spoken Christina. 416-360-0740, and then anywhere else in the province, my friends, it's 1-866-740-4740. And as usual, your wont is to read a whole batch of goodies there.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
My wont. I love that. Okay, so just one announcement that I was sent. This is for next Sunday, December the 9th. Harvey Reitman of Clay Crevice Construction is speaking on new techniques for new plants. And this is on behalf of the Ontario Rock Garden and Hardy Plant Society. They meet at 1:30 in the afternoon at the Toronto Botanical Gardens. As I said, that's a week tomorrow, December the 9th. Christmas shopping.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Presents for gardeners. We have to start sort of talking about what every gardener wants on their Christmas list. And one great website I did sort of stumble across, and I do enjoy Kathy's Composters, right? This is Kathy with the worms. She's that wild woman with the red worms.
That'd be awful, referred to as Kathy
with
the
worms.
Yeah.
Yep, that's exactly what she is, though. So she has some great Christmas present ideas on her website, which is kathyscomposters.com. One word, Kathy's Composters. Things like worm earrings.
Worm earrings?
Mm-hmm. And worm chalets. Chalets for your worms.
Okay.
You're grabbing your
visual
ear.
Is just way too much for me, but
okay, all the things that she sells are totally friendly to the environment. They're all created with sustainable practices, and the worm earrings are not made out of real worms. Okay, they're carved wood from Guatemala. But she has like a puzzle. Okay, a puzzle for sale, you know, regular.
Yeah, jigsaw puzzle.
Jigsaw puzzle with whatever, 12 quadrillion pieces. And when you're finished, all it is a mass of worms.
Oh, that'd be tough.
Oh, really?
I did one with apples, nothing but apples, and drove me crazy.
Well, how about the White Album? Have you ever tried to do that one?
Yeah, I tried to do that one.
That was like
gave up.
Impossible. All right, so a shout out to all the birthday people at my house. It's just what a crazy week.
You tell me, had a wild week there.
Oh, my goodness. My daughter just had her 23rd birthday last week. My niece had her 26th birthday last week. And my dad had his 85th birthday just yesterday.
Wow.
So, happy birthday to all those people. And I'm glad we finally got those birthdays out of the way. And the other thing is, we had a real frost now where I live. Like a real frost. Yeah. I've had a blooming geranium at my front door right up until day before yesterday. It looked perfect. And people kept saying, come on, Charlie, we know you don't have fake plants at your house. There's no way that geranium is real.
That's got to be a plastic job.
Exactly, because it's so perfect. But it is real, and it was looking really good up until it really dropped on, Thursday night.
Yeah.
So now it's toasted. So now it's time to change up the front door decor.
On the way in this morning, talking to Bob Shepard, our news guy, and he was saying that yesterday, he was out to his grandson's hockey game. He said the weather was terrible.
Out Burlington.
Snowing and blowing.
So lake effect, I guess. Because it's dry where I live. There isn't there's more sort of snow in downtown Toronto right now than there is where I live.
Wee trace.
Yeah, a little icing. Okay, so the other thing is I did tell you about five important points about being kind to your trees and preparing your trees for winter.
Don't bark at them.
Thank you. And so we can go over it again if you like today, but as well, all those points have now been posted on the AM740 website, which is actually now zoomerradio.ca is our, you can go to AM740. It'll take you over to zoomerradio.ca. It's on the blog or blogs, and you'll see the 5 points to prepare your trees for winter, which is
good deal. And it's free. Right?
Absolutely.
That's the best kind of thing I like to best push along here. Well, speaking of pushing along, we better push along. We have a little bit of a commercial break here. Going to put the soft-spoken Christina to work. And then we'll be back to talk to our listeners and those with questions calling in for Charlie Dobbin on The Garden Show here at AM 740.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than we do realize. And should little creatures become a big problem, well, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
And Frank here with the phone numbers one more time just before we have our master gardener get to work here. 416-360-0740 in Toronto. And then anywhere else in the province, it's toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. And Charlie, let's welcome our first caller to the line. Mm-hmm. Tyler, good morning.
Hi, Frank. Hi, Charlie.
Morning.
Hi.
Pardon me?
Hello there.
Yeah. It sounds like you're my next personal secretary. I got a question for Charlie. Sometime before Christmas last year, you had a thing on your program about points that is not being poisonous, just dispelling the myths or whatever they are.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do that? Say that again, and I'll hang up and turn the radio. I'm wondering how I can find that on your website about poinsettias not being poisonous, so I can print it off.
Okay. All right, so you hang up and turn up your radio, and we'll talk a little bit about poinsettias. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you know what it is? Weekly, like every day of the week, Monday to Friday, I do little tips on AM 740. Yep. They're a minute and a half, 2 minute tips. And the topic of one of my tips last year before Christmas was dispelling the myth about poinsettias or poinsettias being poisonous.
Yeah, I've heard that.
I know everybody's heard that. They're not. Now, what they are, poinsettias are a euphorbia. That's the proper name, the genus. Euphorbias, all when you break a leaf, you get a white latex, rubbery bleeding from it, if you will. Ficus does the same thing, or figs. You get that white, gummy, looks like glue coming out. Now, some people are sensitive to that milky liquid, that they can get a rash on their skin, because we all have different sensitivities to different plants and, foods and perfumes and all that kind of stuff. So, yes, sometimes people react, but it has never, nobody has ever, ever died from eating poinsettia. And so that's one of those things where, don't bring them in the house where you have small children, as if a child's going to chew on a poinsettia anyway, because they really don't taste good. That liquid, that
bitter.
White, really bitter. So even my crazy cat, who chews on all houseplants, doesn't really like poinsettia. And frankly, he does chew on everything. So, he's a horrible little monstrosity of a kitty cat. But, he's tried the poinsettias and moved on. So, I mean, I will do that again on the radio as one of my tips. Read the whole thing. Mm-hmm. The little tiny flowers, the real flowers on a poinsettia, are the little balls up on top. The little round, they look like, literally like little balls. Those are the flowers. Even those aren't poisonous. Like, no part of the plant it truly is poisonous, but we all have different sensitivities, so rubbing up against them might cause a little bit of a rash for some people, a little bit of itchiness, hives, that sort of thing.
Huh.
But certainly won't kill you.
Okay.
I can tell you that.
And maybe Tyler, who had called in, might go online if he has a computer and just punch in, poinsettias poisonous?
Well, I can even perhaps come up with a website here that will provide that. And frankly, the government, Agriculture Canada, has on their site a list of poisonous plants, both by common name and by Latin name.
Well, there you go.
I can announce that when we
find it. Hope that answers your question, Tyler. And by the way, if you really need to prove to someone that they're not poisonous, you can always check out our iPod.
Podcast, you mean?
Podcast, yes. I always get that confused. Yeah, podcast.
You're showing your age.
Today,
you don't need an iPod to listen to a podcast.
Well, I moved my typewriter. Just a minute, yes. But this program will not be on the podcasts for maybe a week and a half.
No, it's usually about 4 days. I think
Joel,
Joel, but used to be Joel, gets it up by about Thursday.
Okay.
Through iTunes.
Yeah.
You can re-listen to the show or through the AM 740 or...
Just
take Zoomer Media website.
Disbeliever by the scruff of the neck and say, listen to this. Now, there's Charlie telling you they're not poisonous, okay? All right. So, enough for that. There you go, Tyler. Hope that helps. Let's get to Anne, who is on the line now, calling as well from Toronto. Good morning, Anne.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
Great.
Morning.
Good morning. The reason I'm calling is about transplanting boxwoods. Mm-hmm. There's a home in our neighborhood that's going to be destroyed by a developer. Mm-hmm. All the landscaping is going to be destroyed. They've got a whole bunch of boxwoods that are up for grabs to anybody who wants them.
Hmm. How big are they?
They're small ones. They're not the big ones. They're like sort of, the ones that are only about 2 feet high, maybe. But they're the smaller ones. Any way of digging them out and then maybe putting them in huge pots to overwinter them? Like, how could one save them, if one could?
I wonder how long they've been where they are now. Do you have any idea?
Oh, probably 5 years.
That's not that bad. Right, so the question is, then the digging out would have to take place now, is what you're saying.
That's right, yeah.
And so you have no place to plant them in a permanent location now.
No, that's right.
Yes, you could dig them up. Putting them into pots is potentially doable, but you'd want pretty big pots because you want to get as big a root ball as you possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
So when a boxwood's been in the ground for 5 years, you're going to want at least a 16-inch pot to put that root ball into. So 16-inch diameter pot, if you can. Now, the thing is that above ground is colder than in the ground. So if you did dig them up and you did put them in pots and you had to leave them above ground over the winter, you want to put them in a spot where they're in the shade, so no sun, and out of the wind.
Okay.
Preferably sort of an easterly location or northeasterly location. So you've got, any light is early daylight, no wind, and of course water. You're going to have to water them right away when you do the transplanting, but also I would keep an eye on them, if it's depending on the sort of the quality of the soil and the kind of temperatures we're having, you may need to water those once or twice through the winter.
Okay.
Yeah,
because they're going to die one way or the other.
Right. So it's worth a try for sure.
Okay. Thank
you. Excellent. Good luck with that.
Thanks for calling in.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. For first-time listeners, possibly, you are listening to AM 740 Zoomer Radio here in Toronto. Of course, we're heard around the world via internet. We, just by our regular radio receiver, you get us picked up in 28 states and 2 provinces here in Canada.
Without an internet, listening. It's
and
amazing.
And if you're on Rogers Cable, it's channel 949.
Good point.
There you go.
You can listen to us on the television, the web, we're everywhere.
We can't be escaped from. That's terrible language. I ended with a proposition. Whatever. 9:23 our time.
Dangling participle.
AM 740. And you know what I'm doing now? I'm doing my finger push-ups.
I see you are. And I can
just
tell why.
Up and down with my fingers.
Because.
Starting slowly.
you too can feel better in 14 days, just like Frank and
Absolutely.
I do, pain-free and as active as we want to be, because we do take something called Sierra Sil. Completely natural mineral supplement. It allows us to maintain our activities without aches and stiffness. And it's something that can work for just about everybody. Not everybody, but just about everybody. And you will feel better within 14 days if it's going to work for you, which is where the phone number comes from. 1-877-JOINT-14 or the website sierrasil.ca. Or you can pick up Sierra Sil at many of your the local health food stores, including Essence of Life on Kensington Avenue in Toronto, and Natural Solutions, which is at Sherway Gardens in Etobicoke.
SIERRASIL.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
A special good Saturday morning to everybody. Frank Proctor here, the sous chef of the garden, welcoming Brendan to the line from Beaton. Have I got that correctly?
Yes.
Okay, very good.
Morning.
Good morning, Charlie.
What's going on at your place?
Well, I brought in a plant. I don't know whether I'm pronouncing it properly, but it's Diplodenia.
That's right, yep.
And it's blooming. It's never stopped blooming, ever. It's beautiful, but since I've brought it inside, it's developed long runners, like about 2 feet long, almost, some of them. Should I cut them off?
All right. So remember what's happening when you bring a plant like that inside. The light levels drop dramatically.
Yes.
Even if you were in the shade outside and you're in the sunniest window inside, the light levels drop. Plants respond by what we call stretching, or, you know, sometimes doing some sort of extensive growth, far less compact than it was outside.
Oh.
The runners that you're seeing are as well something where the plant is, it's growing and it's reaching and it's looking for the light.
Oh.
But how big is this plant? Is it on a trellis, or it's because it is a vining plant?
Oh, I see. I didn't know that, because it's never, it's just a bit, quite small, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
In what size pot?
Oh, a little one.
Okay. Well, one thing you could consider is, like I say, it is a vining plant. So you could insert a small trellis into the pot, or even pot it up one size. If, say, it's in a 6-inch or 8-inch pot now, go up one size, which is, it would be to an 8 or a 10-inch pot.
8 or 10, yeah.
And then a small trellis, because you can buy, you know, like little portable with legs on them, stick it into the soil, and train that plant to stay within the confines of the pot. You will want to do some trimming late winter, early spring, because it'll be very appropriate to encourage compact growth. Mm-hmm. For now, I wouldn't do a lot of trimming. I would just try and twine and wind and allow it to do its thing.
Okay.
Unless it's so out of control and looks really silly, you can cut it back if you need to.
Perfect.
Okie doke.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for
your
joining
the
show. And boy, it's going to be a busy little show here, I do believe. Erica from Etobicoke on the line. Good morning, Erica.
Good morning.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Hello.
Can you hear us?
Hello?
Good morning, Erica.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
I like to ask you, I have the Christmas cactus, but it's not blooming yet.
Okay.
And I don't know what to do.
Does it have any buds on it?
Nothing.
Okay. So what you do is, I'll tell you what you do to get the buds to form.
Okay.
Number one, it's got to be in the sunniest possible window in your house, preferably a southern window. So bright sun.
Yeah, because that is a problem. My apartment don't have enough sun.
That could be a problem. The other thing that makes a difference for Christmas cactus is temperature. They like to be cool. They will initiate flower buds or form flower buds if they have some cool temperatures. Sometimes
my apartment is not very hot anyway, so. Mm.
But right in a window, what direction does your apartment face?
North side.
Mm. Okay, so but put that plant right in the window. Try to not have it touch the glass, but usually right on a window ledge is one of the cooler spots in the entire apartment. Make sure there's no warm air blowing on it from a radiator or anything like that. And the cool temperatures at the window may make the difference. You will need to turn the plant 180 degrees every couple of days.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, it'll grow in an unbalanced fashion. And remember, do not keep it constantly moist. Only water when it's very dry.
Very dry.
Very dry between mm-hmm. waterings. And that may make the difference for you. That may sort of, you know, jump start it for some making of flower buds. The other thing is you can consider fertilizing it once. If you haven't fertilized in the last few months, you could mix up some fertilizer, and next time you water, give some fertilizer in the water and then let it dry right down before you water again with just plain water. And again, that may help just get it to initiate those flowers.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
It is a bit of a tough one if you don't have a ton of light, though. That's the trick.
Yeah, that is a problem, yeah.
Christmas cactus, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, good luck with that.
Yeah, I am enjoying the show.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Erica. And thanks for joining us here on The Garden Show, here at AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Just a little note that following Dave's Corner Garage, which immediately follows our show, Charlie Dobbin's Garden Show.
Our show, I love it.
It's the health show at 11 o'clock, and you have all sorts of wonderful advice from all sorts of doctors, anything to do with health, it'll be on that show. So from 11 through to 12, the health show here at AM 740. Okay, let's take a little trip here
phone
to Scarborough.
Numbers. Why don't you give the phone numbers?
Oh, yeah, give the phone number. You know, I'm looking up here, and I know what it is. This time of year, people are so crazy busy, you know, shopping. And my wife had me running all over the city yesterday picking up some
gifts,
various things. Yeah.
You have grandbabies.
Yes,
that's why.
Right. So I know what it's like out there, you know. So to cut to the chase, we have a couple of lines open right now at 416-360-0740. Or if you are calling from outside Toronto, anywhere in the province for that matter, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And you had something you wanted to mention, Charlie.
No, I was just going to say, you know, if people are crazy busy racing around and don't have time to make calls, I do have a raft of emails, so we can always cover off some emails that have been sitting on my desk for the last few weeks.
We'll tap, dance till ready. All right. And Bill is on the line from Scarborough. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
Morning.
Morning, Charlie. Yes, I'm an avid gardener.
Mm-hmm.
I do my own garden at home, and I also volunteer to do the garden out at a nursing home.
Mm, nice.
This year, the cucumbers in my own backyard and the ones in the home all got mildew on and died before we even got any fruit on it. Well, there was a couple of cucumbers on ones out there, but they all went soft on the end and were rotten. We had to throw them away.
I know. You're not the only person that happened to. That happened to a lot of people.
Is there nothing that you can do to bug it? I mean, I tried putting spraying it with sulfur and water, but I guess either I was too late or it didn't work, whichever.
Well, it's interesting because in my neighborhood, everybody's cucumbers did exactly what you said. They just kind of collapsed overnight. Now, I hadn't grown, cucumbers in the spot I did grow them this year ever, and mine held up much longer than anybody else's. So I'm not sure. I did a little bit of research at the time. It appears, I mean, what happens is there's an insect, though I never saw it, which is the cucumber beetle, that spreads diseases and causes problems. And often the wilt disease that you see, or that complete collapse, can be connected to the insect or strictly to a mildew from conditions that, you know, in the weather that we can't control. Best thing I can recommend for next year is never plant cucumbers in the same spot 2 years running. So rotate those crops or just take a break from cucumbers for a year or two. Yeah, you did, eh? So yeah. The cucumbers you planted this year is the first time you had planted in a couple of years.
No, I planted last year, but I planted in a different spot. I only put in a couple of plants.
And you had them growing up something? They weren't sprawled on the ground?
Out at the home, somebody else planted them. They planted them in a row, and I put up one of those chicken wire fences so they could climb up it.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing wonderful at the top, and then all of a sudden they all died.
They all just collapsed. I know, and like I said, I'm not positive. I have to go back and re-look this up. I'm not positive whether the collapse was strictly a fungal disease, as we're thinking, or if it was more connected to virus or whatever that could have been transmitted? Yeah, transmitted by an insect, by the cucumber beetles, because they do cause huge problems. And you're right, we don't have sprays. We've just got to be watching. And the sulfur, or there's another fungicide called Serenade, which is not sulfur, as far as I know, can be used on your vegetables, like your cucumbers. But you always have to prevent diseases with fungicides. You can't cure fungal diseases. It's a challenge.
It may be related. You might be able to tell me, because right beside the ones I have at home, I had Swiss chard. And I never seen Swiss chard grow like that before. It only grew about 6 inches high, and that was it. And that was, I've never seen Swiss chard do that.
No, really? What was it, a variety of Swiss chard you've grown in the past?
Same seed and everything.
Tell me about your soil. Do you add manure to your soil or any organic material?
Yes, and leaf mulch and everything.
Huh? And you're getting lots of good sun in this garden?
Pardon me?
Oh, the garden is open to lots of sunshine?
Oh, yes, wide open. Yes, on the same plot, I got all kinds of tomatoes.
Yeah, it was a good year for tomatoes. Water would have had a limiting factor, would it? You were irrigating as required?
Yeah, well, I believe, but I don't go down deep anymore. I used to dig it all over 8 inches deep, but yeah. I don't do that anymore.
Yeah, I don't do that either.
No.
But when we were getting into the real drought, hot, dry stuff, were you watering the cucumbers and the chard and the tomatoes?
Yeah, but I don't overwater. I don't believe in overwatering. Maybe once a week, if that, you know.
Yeah, because that is the one thing about vegetables, is that to get a good quality crop, we want to try and have very consistent watering. So you're right, it doesn't have to be lots of watering, but it does have to be consistent. And sounds like you've sort of got a good handle on that. Well tell you what, Bill.
The ones out at the home, there's an old man, one of the patients in there, and he loves to water gardens. When the ones out there started wilting, I told him, stop putting water on them altogether because you're overwatering them.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's what it was.
No,
just, you know.
I don't think it was either. Okay, leave it with me, Bill. I'm going to do a little research, and we will talk about this next week, because I'll have a chance to do some research over the week. And when we start the show next week, that will be top of the first thing we talk about.
Oh, thanks.
Top of the show. Thanks, Bill.
Okay.
Thank you, Bill, from Scarborough. Good for you, Bill, getting Charlie to work. Love it when that happens. Hey, it looks like we've got a caller from New York here. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Whereabouts in New York are you calling
Rochester?
From? Rochester.
I'm the guy who listens to you at night.
Oh, great.
Morning. How are you doing, Jim?
Good morning. Charlie, just a quick question. I got Forsythia bush, and it's really, the branches are long, and in fact, it impedes raking underneath and even cutting under there. And I'm wondering, when do you trim a Forsythia bush?
Great question. Well, you can trim that Forsythia bush if it's really big and overgrown right now. The right time to trim any flowering shrub is right after it flowers. So, of course, Forsythia, with the yellow flowers, is one of the first blooming shrubs in the spring. Properly, you would wait until it's given its beautiful big show next spring, then you'd get out your chainsaw and you would hack it right back, because it is one tough plant. But if it's really just, you don't want to leave it that long and wait until after it flowers, Forsythia is a great plant to do some trimming starting in February. Start taking some branches off and then bring them inside, stick them into a vase, and they will bloom indoors as branches of Forsythia. Brighten up your kitchen or living room or whatever with some flowering Forsythia, so you could start your pruning early in that sense and still get the flowers. Then, of course, do a real proper shaping and pruning come spring when you can get outside. But that's a one way to kind of deal with it in the short term.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're very
thanks,
welcome.
Jim. By the way, regarding weather in Rochester, are you getting a lot of snow down there?
Just barely. It's not even covered. It's just, you know, spotty.
Yeah. Same here in Teoa, but a little to the west of us it's got snow, and of course, a little further north, lots of snow. Thank you very much for the call, Jim.
You're welcome.
Thanks, yep. Jim.
Love to hear from our folks from across the border there.
You were going to say the pond, weren't you?
I was going to say the pond. No. Well, Lake Ontario's a bit bigger than a pond. 9:39 our time here at AM 740. We'll be back to talk to our listeners in just a couple of moments at AM 740, The Garden Show. And yes, this time, Charlie is giving me the visual cue. She was doing a hula dance thing. That was really wacky.
You like that, eh?
Well, yeah.
You know me.
I'll get my lawnmower on, cut that grass skirt. Boy, I just like that.
All right. The reason we're being silly and dancing and doing exercises is because both Frank and I want to maintain the freedom of our favorite activities with reduced aches and stiffness. Of course, we do that by taking Sierracil on a daily basis. Completely natural mineral supplement keeps us supple and limber and kickboxing and snow shoveling and lawn mowing and gardening and all that fun stuff. So it works for us. It might work for you. For more information, call 1-877-JOINT-14 or check the website, sierracil.ca, or you can pick it up at Heart Lake IDA Drugs on Sandalwood Parkway East in Brampton.
SIERRASIL.
Don't change the radio station. Just because the weather changes, garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
And Frank Proctor, your sous chef for The Garden, rocking and rolling here on a Saturday morning as we say hi to Dave. Welcome to the show, Dave. Hello, Dave.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, hi.
How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. I have a question. I have an ash tree in my front yard, and I have a question regarding the emerald ash borer.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that there's actually a treatment that you can apply to the tree to try and give it some support from the borer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering how effective that treatment is, how much it costs, what's involved. I'm considering doing it for the tree. It's about, I'd say it's about 14 or 15 years old now.
And this is a real ash, not a mountain ash.
No, it's a real ash, yeah.
Okay, which is important.
I'm not sure if it's a green ash or a black ash or...
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, one of those.
All right. There is a treatment. It's an injected treatment. You would pay a certified arborist to do the treatment. How much does it cost? You know what? I couldn't tell you exactly, but I know it's expensive. So what does that mean? I think it's a couple of hundred dollars per year. Is it effective? Well, at this point, they're banking that it is effective. When I say they, it is being used by the municipalities, City of Toronto being one, where I live in town of Richmond Hill. Everybody has kind of put aside a little budget to try and keep alive some of the heritage ash trees. For example, in Toronto at Queen's Park Circle, where there are some big old trees, there are a couple of amazing old ashes in there, and they are being treated to try and save them from the borer, because the expectation is that the borers are going to wipe out the vast majority of ash trees across Ontario, southern
right.
Ontario. So is it, if I had an ash tree on my property that had big impact in terms of my landscape and the value of my home, I would definitely consider using the treatment, definitely.
And just to understand correctly, do I have to do it every year? Is it just a one-time treatment?
I believe it is something you'd have to do every year. An arborist would be able to tell you more on that. I've just got my little computer going here. I think...
See, she doesn't know quite everything.
Well, you know what it is. I just don't know every detail. For some reason, the name, like Furazam or something like that, is I think what it's called. So emerald ash borers, because City of Toronto, there's good information certainly on, you know, what the damage can look like. And yes, you have to be proactive. If you're going to save a tree, you treat it prior to any evidence of the borer being, see the pictures? It's a very pretty bug.
It's
a bright emerald green bug. There's a lot on the web, so certainly do go to the web to look it up. But yeah, I would definitely, if I could have, you know, put aside a little budget, I would.
Okay.
Save an ash tree if you can, because it's worth a try.
Okay, that's good advice. Thank you very much.
All right, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Dave.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Thanks for joining us here on The Garden Show. Heard every Saturday morning 9 through to 10, and, of course, coming up, Dave's Corner Garage. Now, Barb is ready to join. Where are you calling from, Barb, by the way?
I'm in Lindsay.
Lindsay. Oh, favorite old place of mine. Yeah.
Good morning.
How are you guys?
Great.
Good. I have a question. I planted a Japanese quince bush, or I guess it's a quince berry bush,
mm-hmm.
8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
In the spring, it gets vibrant red flowers on the lower part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, for the first time after 8 years, it's developed a hard-shelled fruit, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Quince.
Now, is that ornamental? Or
no.
I haven't noticed the birds at it.
You know why? It's got to be those little quince, two things. One is they have to be frosted several times in order to be soft enough for the birds to be able to get at them.
Okay.
And often I find the quince fruit just mummifies on the shrub anyway. The birds don't often necessarily see the actual quince fruits. But it was probably that mild winter is why this you're seeing fruits this year. This fact that we had such a mild winter this past winter.
It's not normal for it to have fruit?
Well, like you said, you normally have lots of good flowers down low on the plant.
Right.
And that's because snow typically covers the lower portion of the plant.
Okay.
The flowers, they flower very early in the spring, and the flowers would survive the winter because they'd be under the snow.
Okay.
And this past year, it was so mild, we had virtually had no snow, but it wasn't so cold that the flower buds got frosted off. So that's all that's really happening, I think, is that you probably had a pretty good flowering as well. You've got some fruiting going on this year. You might have had it in the past. You just never noticed it.
Never noticed
down
it.
Down low.
So they're not. It's not good for us to consume.
Sure you can.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can make quince jam or quince whatever.
Mm-hmm. Never tasted that. Is it good or would it be bitter?
It's not bitter. It's just really mealy. They're not. It's not like a peach or something. Quince are. They're an odd sort of a. There's recipes out there.
So if I went out quince and took jam. One off and opened it up and left it for the birds, would they?
They would probably like that.
Oh, would they? Maybe
yeah.
They'll do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. They are. It's a thorny plant, so be careful.
Yes, very thorny.
Okay.
I found that out.
Thank you, and say hi to all the folks in Lindsay.
Sheldon, thank you very much.
Okay. Bye-bye now. And, boy, we've got a good show going here on a Saturday. Well, every Saturday morning with Charlie is a real ball, I'll tell you. Francis in Toronto on the line. Good morning, Francis. Hello, Francis. Hello.
No, Linda.
I don't know. Have you got Linda there? I'm sorry.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is that Linda?
Yes, it is.
Oh,
Niagara
I didn't have
Falls.
That down. Okay.
I've been looking for a particular plant. It's a house plant. It's mm-hmm. called Simone. Apparently, it blooms 365. And I'm looking absolutely everywhere. It's gorgeous. Have you heard of this plant?
How do you spell that?
To be honest with you, I'm not 100% positive. She just said it was called Simone.
Simone. Whew.
Nina Simone.
Yeah,
no.
Simone. Nope, don't know, but happy to look it up.
Oh, would you please?
All right.
Yeah, she's got a computer.
I would do it myself, but and anybody else I ask, they say they never heard of it. But my doctor's office right there, they have it on the desk. It is absolutely gorgeous.
What does it look like?
It seems like it has, it's a family of the cactus.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very, it has branches.
I know. I think I know what you're talking about.
And the flowers are sort of like an orangey red.
Yeah, it's called Sonoma. S-E-N-O-M-A. Sonoma.
Oh, that's why I can't find it.
Hold on. Let me just, you know what? Maybe it's not called Sonoma. It's called Sedona. Oh, yeah, it's okay. I'll figure it out. We'll get back on that one. Stay tuned, Linda.
Fabulous.
It's
fabulous.
There. It's
Thank
in my brain.
So
I just have to
a
find
great
it.
Great day.
Thank you so much. Whoa, you should see the action going on here in the control room. It's wild and woolly, I'll tell you.
All right, it's a form of what's called crown of thorns.
Okay.
All right. Sedona, Sonoma. I think it's where it's Sonoma, but it's not coming up Sonoma. Anyway, we're going to figure that one out because it is a great plant and it does bloom extensively. Like some sun, though. Need that bright, sunny spot, or definitely be careful to not overwater.
Somebody send off a flare. This is the first time I've seen you stumped.
I know.
It really is. Even with the help of the internet, you're stumped.
Having a show here, aren't I?
I can't believe it. I'm in total shock. I'm almost euphorbia.
It is euphoria. Yeah, euphorbia.
That's I try to learn one word every week, and euphorbia is my name, and I'm going to have you tell me later what it means. Francis, you're on the line from Toronto, I understand. No? Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
A while back, you were a caller called in about a Japanese barberry and rose glow.
Yep, rose glow is the cultivar. Yeah.
How do you spell barberry? B A R B U R Y?
No, B A R E. Sorry, B A R B E R R Y. Like berry, like bar,
oh,
and then berry.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. And I was thinking of putting it out in the front. I face west. Is
oh,
it good
perfect.
For that?
It needs a western or southern location. All the barberries, like lots of light.
Do they spread out?
It's a shrub. The one we were talking about called Rose Glow, it will be a meter wide and a meter high after
well,
five or six years.
Meter wide, meter wide. Oh, that's not too bad. It might inflict with the rose bushes on either side, but I don't know.
It's vase shaped, so it's narrow at the bottom. It grows like a waterfall, so it grows up and then spills, you know, out into a sort of a waterfall shape.
Because right now everything's looking pretty bare there.
Yeah, it is a very prickly plant.
Oh, okay.
But it's a very pretty plant. The leaves are all colors of pink and purple and white, and then it gets little orange fruits, and with that western location, it's even better because as the sun sets, the sun would be behind the barberry, and you stand on your side with the sun on the other side. It's like looking through a stained glass window. It is so pretty when the sun comes through it.
You buy it at a nursery, obviously, in the spring?
That's right.
Got it.
Any good nursery would have it.
Okay. I thank you very much for your time.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Nice to have you aboard here, the Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, and we're going to
there
be
it
talking.
Is, there it is.
Oh,
look.
You got it? You got it?
Sonoma. Okay, go back to Linda. Linda, hopefully you're still listening. Euphorbia. Remember we said poinsettia
yes.
was a euphorbia? This is another euphorbia spelled E-U-P-H-O-R-B-I-A. Euphorbia. Sonoma. S as in Sam. O. N as in Norbert, O,
Norbert.
M as in mother, A, Sonoma. All right, so that's what it's called, Euphorbia Sonoma. It is grown right here in Ontario, Balfour Greenhouses, grows them like crazy. Look at the picture of this plant. Look how pretty
that
is.
Oh, hey, that is beautiful.
Blooms
red
nonstop.
Blooms. Wow.
Yeah, it's like an orangey-red bloom. Mm-hmm. There's big, long prickles in there underneath these leaves. It is a cactus-type plant, so don't overwater it. And, yes, you can pick them up. Grocery stores will have them in little 4-inch pots. At garden centers, everybody would have them. So Euphorbia Sonoma.
Good. Yeah, you learn something from this show every day.
I know.
Well, sometimes for me even. Well, okay, all right, not so much. We're going to be back to talk to Ann and June in just a couple of moments. First, these words on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than we do realize. And should little creatures become a big problem, well, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
And Charlie Dobbin wanted to add something to that last call, I do believe.
No, darling, this is going back to our first call. Remember when Tyler called about poinsettias and whether they're poisonous?
Yes.
Okay. Anybody who's got a computer, access to a computer and Google, put in poinsettia, poisonous. Lots of websites come up. First one is medicinenet.com. Are poinsettia plants poisonous? Fact or fiction? Myths and rumors abound about the toxicity of the poinsettia plant because they think that way back in 1919, a 2-year-old child died, and at that time, the cause of the poisoning was incorrectly determined to be a poinsettia leaf. According to the Poisindex information source, the primary resource used by the majority of poison control centers nationwide, a child who weighed 50 pounds would have to eat over 500 poinsettia leaves to reach an even potentially toxic dose of compounds in the poinsettia plant. Doctors at the Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh and the Pittsburgh Poison Center conducted a review of 22,000 reported cases of poinsettia exposures, the majority, 93% of which occurred in children, and found that of those people exposed, nobody developed any symptoms at all.
So the answer is no.
Yeah. Poinsettias are not poisonous.
Okay.
Trust me. And they don't taste good anyway.
Oh, there you go.
All
okay.
Right.
Food, you don't care whether to avoid it or not. Anne in Owen Sound is on the line. Good morning, Anne.
Morning.
Morning.
I would like to know if there's a right time to prune a ginkgo tree.
Best time to prune a ginkgo tree is when it's dormant. So that could be winter, like now kind of timing, or early spring. And the pruning should be done by somebody who knows what they're doing, as in a certified arborist.
Yes, my tree has two headers.
Oh,
And I think before it gets too terribly big, it should, one of the headers should come off.
Very, very good eye that you have, and very good point. Absolutely. When you've got a split terminal leader, so two terminals going on a big shade tree, it's going to be a very weak situation eventually when those, as they grow bigger and bigger, and you'll be cabling and bracing those together in 20 years if you don't remove one when the plant is young. So
what do you call young?
Well,
I think this is about 10. It is.
10 years old is good, because by the time it gets to 30 years old, you won't be able to remove one of them. Because the plants don't grow fast enough that if you took one out, you would just have a big hole on one side of the tree. It would be completely unbalanced and misshapen and silly looking. So
yes, I did try to stop the two headers from growing, but what I think I did was bend down the wrong branch.
Oh, well. Get somebody who knows what they're doing to do the right thing. It's, you know what, even if it costs you $150 or whatever it's going to cost, $200, to get somebody who knows what they're doing to do the right thing, you will not regret it, because a ginkgo is a tree that can live for hundreds of years and add all kinds of value to your property. So
yes,
have it grow right.
I just love mine because they turn so yellow in the,
they're pretty.
In the fall. Yeah. And
oh, great. And they're great trees. They're tolerant of urban conditions. They're just, they're good. They're really good trees.
Hope that helped.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Ann, thanks for the call from Owen Sound. June on the line from Toronto. Good morning, June.
Oh, good morning, June. Did we lose June?
I don't know.
I'm waiting for this radio to come on.
Oh, here we are.
Hello,
good morning.
June. Yeah. Is that June?
No.
Who? Hello.
Good morning. We're on the radio.
Okay, we'll go to the next line here. Shirley in...
June. Aurelia.
Shirley?
June?
Yeah. Whichever. Who's on the line there?
June. I haven't spoken
to you June. Yet. Yeah. Way you go, my love.
Okay. It's an indoor plant. I've had it... I took over from somebody about 30 years ago, and it's been going like crazy. But this year, about the first of the year, it started a new shoot. I don't know the name of it. It's just a green plant, and it never blooms or anything like that. But this shoot now is about a foot high, and the old one is just, all the leaves are starting to drop off. Each day I can get one, you know, kind of shrivel, go brown. And I don't know whether, when the new one is growing so good, whether should I cut the old one off when it dies?
What you got there is a weed. That's a weed.
No, that isn't.
Okay. It's very, very normal for older leaves to drop, because no leaves last forever.
Right.
So the fact that the older, more mature leaves are dropping and new, fresh growth is growing is a good thing. It means the plant is healthy and happy and alive.
Right, yeah.
So I would allow it to do what it's doing. And absolutely, if the older branches become unsightly because there's no leaves
Let's
on them, then you may need to cut them back.
Yeah.
But remember that new growth, that new stem you're referring to,
right.
You could pinch the top on that and cause some side branching and cause the plant to not just have a single stem, but have be a little bushier and more compact.
Oh, that's good. Because right now, this one here, it's got about four leaves that are pretty brown, and it's just like a dead stock, you know, with all these parts that I've cut the leaves off.
Yeah, well, and
so
they
I'll do that then.
Yeah, pinch the top and let the old leaves die.
Oh,
drop.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much for your help.
There's
You're
a lesson
welcome.
There.
Bye bye.
A lesson there for all of us. Pinch the top and let the old leaves die. That's what I'm going away with. I always
your take home.
Yeah, my take home for today is pinch the top, let the old leaves die. Charlie has been a ball.
As
back
usual.
In action here.
Never a dull moment.
And we certainly appreciate all the callers calling in. And gosh, we're getting awful close to Christmas.
We are. And so we are going to talk more next week about good gifts for gardeners.
Oh, good.
I think we're going to have somebody with us, an author of a new book, Dan Cooper, will be joining us to talk about gardening in the hammock. And, of course,
that's
my favorite kind of gardening.
Well, yeah, I know. You and your wine bag out there.
That's my wine bag.
Gosh, yeah, well, the bag of wine there as you weed the garden.
Suggesting I'm an old wine bag or something.
I'm not suggesting anything.
I heard you.
And thank you, Christina, for all your hard work out there. And Christina has a little, bit of laryngitis, and it's been
she's going to feel better next week.
Hopefully, she'll be better next week.
And
but I like the red
you.
Toque she's wearing today.
Mm-hmm.
Very
thank you
sharp
so much,
indeed.
Frank.
Thank
You've
you, Charlie.
Done a great job as usual. as my sous chef, and you're back again, obviously, for a little more this afternoon.
We'll take another kick at it again at noon.
That's right.
So see if I can get better.
Enjoy your break and have a great show okay. later. Thanks so much, Christina. Thanks to the callers. See you all next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.